Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Our Open House Community Facebook page went off the radar this week when Kate posted one picture of Nigella Lawson with her husband grabbing her by the throat at a restaurant. There's been a worldwide storm about it, even more so when he was simply cautioned by police. Over the last couple of weeks, there's been so much focus on gender, how women are treated. Julia Gillard has been in the thick of it, declaring Labor to be the only party for women, bringing back abortion onto the political agenda. Then Perth Radio's Howard Sattler was sacked over his line of questioning to the PM about her partner, Tim Matheson. As one who was around for the great strides in feminism and the rights and treatment of women in the 70s, I'm just gobsmacked that in so many ways, so many people still just don't get this. I just ask, how come? I'd love you to share your thoughts with us on Open House on 1300 40 2020, ways in which you've seen this play out perhaps in your own life or in the lives of friends. Australian statistics show nearly 40% of women have experienced some kind of violence since the age of 15, and one third of women have experienced inappropriate comments about their looks and sex. At the other end of the spectrum, maybe there are ways in which you've seen some progress in how women are regarded. Before Nigella Lawson's pictures, we might have thought these problems happened behind closed doors. Do we need a greater national push to stamp out abuse of women? Let's kick off an Open House conversation on 1300 40 2020 off the back of a conversation with Vanessa Swan, who's director of the South Australian Office for Women. And Vanessa joins us now from Adelaide. Vanessa, thanks very much for your time.
No problem, Lee.
Welcome. What was your response when you first saw those photos of Nigella Lawson, Vanessa?
My response was horror, was concern for her. I think seeing any woman in a situation, a photograph with a hand on her throat, is horrifying. So I share very much the broad community response to that.
Is one of the reasons we've seen such a response is that for once this was out in the open, not behind closed doors?
Absolutely, absolutely. We know that the prevalence of this is high. In fact, just on Friday, a new UN report from the World Health Organization released figures saying across the world, the prevalence rates of violence against women is one in four women experience it sometime in their lifetime. So because the prevalence rates are so high, we are concerned, but we very, very rarely actually see personally ourselves examples of this out in a public situation.
So what are some of the other statistics you're aware of that demonstrate the reality of this problem still?
Well, the problem is a very underreported problem. So both sexual assault and domestic and family violence formulate violence against women, and this can be both physical and emotional, or it can be sexual in nature, it can be about intimidation. That sort of range of offences is very underreported. So we do have statistics, we do have data. We know, for example, that the National Homicide Monitoring Program released some data, and they analyse figures because they obviously do them in retrospect because it takes a long time for these matters to go through the courts. But they released information about statistics from 2008 to 2010 saying something like 30% of all homicides were domestic intimate partner homicides. We know that in Australia, this is something that we are still coming to grips with and still trying to understand. And we have the Australian Bureau of Statistics undertake a personal safety survey that will be out in actually the end of October this year. And that's a very wide sample of people across Australia. And that will give us very up-to-date prevalence data around these kinds of offences.
So in your view and in your wide experience because of your position now and in the past, what are the factors at work where, for instance, 30 years ago at the height of the feminist movement, there were significant gains for women, but why is this still such an issue we can't get right?
I think that's a really good question, Lee. I think we don't get it right because, in fact, we don't have gender equity. This kind of violence that operates within personal relationships, within very often domestic relationships, is a symptom, is an example. It comes from the imbalance of power, frankly, between men and women. So if women are seen to be less than, if men are seen to be more entitled to be cared for or have their needs met, then how that operates in domestic situations is frequently, all too frequently, by this being demonstrated through violence.
So if you talk about gender equity, are you comfortable with the ways gender has emerged as such an issue in our public conversation politically? Have you felt comfortable with how that's played out?
I'm not comfortable about the ways that the Prime Minister has been treated. I think the way in which this debate has become very personal, I'm not comfortable with. However, I would say that I am very comfortable and think it's a good thing that this matter has been drawn to public attention. It is everywhere at the moment. We are talking about it again, and we should be. We should be talking about it. If we want any change in the future, we have to, as a society, come to grips with the way in which inequity operates.
We've got to do more than talk about it, though. What do we do to address this problem, like to really address it?
There's a wide range of things, and I think that what we know about complex social problems is, unfortunately, there are no silver bullets, although that's probably not a good metaphor to use in this context, but there are not simple fixes to these things. We have to do many things at once to address it. We have to address the way in which we treat the causes, so that is about addressing our 17.6% gender pay gap. It is about promoting women to higher places within organisations. It is about sharing unpaid work in the household. And it's also how we treat, until we address the power inequity at the broad levels of the way that it operates in our community, we will still have the victims of this inequity in the form of victims of violence against women, and we must treat them with respect. We must address those that perpetrate these offences, and we must do our very best to have them not hide and keep secret the offences against them.
They are some of the more formalised structures in our society. What about in families? What do you say to parents about how this might be addressed at the grassroots level?
How we raise our children very much reflects the broader values within our society. And I think that we know right from very early on, we raise girls and boys quite differently. You know, very, very young children will have a preference for particular toys, have expectations of themselves in different ways. So from raising very young children, I think we need to have the same kinds of expectations for our girls as we do for our boys. And we also need to particularly raise our boys to express emotion, to be carers of young children, to do the things that will actually give them more choices. You know, this isn't just about women having more choice. The more choice women have, the more choice men have to perhaps not work necessarily as hard, to be primary caregivers to children, to be emotional in their lives. So really, I think we all win from these kinds of changes.
How do you talk to the boys of the future without making them feel they are to blame, or without kind of reversing the equation and making them feel like second-class citizens?
I think it is about what they want for themselves and how they can be the best they can be or the most they can be in their lives, which is about being good parents, being good partners, being respectful, being able to talk about emotion in friendships, to being able to take responsibility for friendships. So really it's about them having tools to speak and act in their lives. So that's a positive thing rather than really merely looking at them as potential perpetrators of violence.
Yes, I'm driven to think that if only kids, adults, parents were able to treat each other as they would want to be treated themselves, that would fix an awful lot of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm not sure that we can just address it in terms of interpersonal relationships. That is something that we do need to talk about. But a lot of this is about power in society. Everyone doesn't have the same amount. So people who are in positions of authority, who are chairs of boards, who are, you know, have more power, need to actually do things to really begin to implement these changes. Make sure you have a woman on your board if you're in a position like that. Make sure that you have paid parental leave for men too. Do you know, like, those things need to operate so individuals can do the things that you're talking about.
Vanessa Swan, I hope this has kicked off a significant open house conversation. Very grateful for your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.